Have your Bibles this morning and turn with me in 2 John. We're going to begin in verse 4. You see, on the way to church this morning, we go past the middle school in Versailles, and there were more people in 38-degree weather on those benches watching kids play lacrosse, I guess it was what they were playing. And it was cold outside, and all these parents were huddled up on the benches, and the kids were out there playing. And when I used to drive by there and see that situation, because you wonder how many of those folks actually go to church and chose to play lacrosse this morning instead of have a chance to worship Almighty God, or those that are not lost. And we used to drive by those in our younger religious years and have, well, look at me, I'm going to church, and look what they're doing, and have a judgment on those folks. And, you know, that's not what a child of God is supposed to do. Actually, this morning it was a heartfelt that what these kids were experiencing and what these kids were going to be told and experience about, especially if their parents go to church. And again, as I've talked to you all before, there's a difference in going to church. Only lost people go to church. You understand that, right? Are we all in agreement with that? Only lost people go to church? Because if you are the church, you come to worship. Okay? So understand that what these kids are seeing and what they're experiencing, that next generation will take it and they will use what they've been taught by their parents on how to relate to God. Unless the parents nowadays take a stand in the world we live in today, these kids don't have a chance in even knowing who God is. Listen to this in 2 John. He comes and he says, I was very glad to find some of your children. He didn't say all of his children. He said some of the children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. You see, we don't understand the implication it is to have children. And one of the greatest things that we've got to do is teach our children to fear God. You see, fear God is the beginning of wisdom. Fear God is the beginning of knowledge. And without fearing God, your children have no chance. And we live in a world now that religion has come and says God works with us. Not through us. With us. We're still our own, and we just kind of co-pilot with God to get through this world so that we somehow feel like we've got a place in heaven. You know, you can't go back. I like what you said, is that, you know, when you brought up that praise for Alec, and I thought, you know, you can't go back. Don't know how I missed that. But the most important thing you said is that we can go forward. And maybe as a parent, and what religion will do is we somehow think that we just take our children to church, that they're going to be okay. That we let people go back and raise them in the church. You know, as a parent, you have to raise them at home. And you have to put the fear of God in them at home. And you don't do it because of what you want to do, but you get God's word out and show them in God's word what is right and what is wrong, because you're not going to hide them from this world. Oh, we think Christian schools hide them from the world. There's more drugs in the Christian schools than there are in the schools that aren't Christian schools. As a matter of fact, Christian school is a pagan term. God never used it to call us. We are not Christians. That's what the Romans used to describe us, the early church. God says you're a child of God or you're not a child of God. And so we put Christian on it and we think, oh wow, I'll just send my kid to Christian school, and guess what? They'll be all right. I've had a child in a Christian school. Dylan's been in a Christian school. Let him come up and tell you about Christian schools. You see what religion has done. It's allowed us to take everything that God says and twist it around to meet what we want. It's time that we get back to what is God saying. He was pleased to see that some of his kids were walking in truth. There's nothing greater for a father to see his kids walking in truth. I didn't say going on mission trips. I didn't say filling the legacy of a pastorship. Because you see, you can have a religious legacy. He's talking about born again children that were taught in truth and in the fear of God and continue to walk in that truth despite of their circumstances, despite what life deals them, but except they take God's word and they apply it to their lives. They act upon it and allows them to persevere. And understand, where did this come from? From the commandment that God told us to do so, from Father. He tells us to walk in truth. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. No one comes to the Father but by me. And if there's no other way, I'm sorry. If I'm narrow-minded, forgive me. You see, we don't look at God's word to substantiate what we believe, but we need to look at God's word to know what we're supposed to believe. And whatever God writes, it's not up for debate and it's not up for discussion. It's up to carry it out, to be obedient to his word. It says, now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Now, again, if we want to make a doctrine out of that and we want to love one another as it says to love one another, then we decide what love is. See, God is the only one that defines love. Love sometimes is saying no. Love is sometimes not deeping into your pocket and giving folks money. God may be working in that person's life to bring them to the point and lay them on their back so they reach up so they can go to eternity. And then we jump in, oh, good Christians that we are. We want to show everybody how good we are as children of God. So we go out there and we're making sure we're helping everybody through life, and everybody's going to hell. The Father is a perfect Father. Sometimes he says, no, it's not best for you. And I'm going to let you suffer in your humanity till you read my word and you come to grips with this and understand what I'm doing in your life. See, it's only through the word of God that we can understand those things. It's only by the reading, because the book is not dead. This book is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts deep and examines me. Gives me strength. Gives me hope. But it says to love one another. Now we know, if you read the rest of the scriptures, we're not just to love one another. How are we to love one another? As yourself. And guess what? We all love ourselves. Don't we? Huh? See, we empty out all of our garbage and give to the poor. And we go buy ourselves all new stuff, keep the old stuff, and go buy them some new stuff. Then you understand what I'm saying, to love your neighbor as yourself. If you do something for somebody else, you do it as you are doing it for your own home and your own self. But what do? We throw our rags in, we throw them in bags, and we take them to those poor people who are appreciative. Not as much as they used to be, though. I remember one time we had some coats, and the kids, oh, I don't want that one. I don't like that one. No, that one doesn't have a Nike swish on it. I don't want that one. Even the poor people are coming picky. Do you notice that? He goes and says in verse 6, and this is love. I love how the Bible will define what love is. Now, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. If you're not walking according to his commandments, and you are not indoctrinated the teachings of Jesus Christ in your life and your family's life, you have no love. Now, you might define love, but that's not how God defines it. God says, if you love me, you walk in my commandments. You'll keep my commandments. Jesus said, I'll be your friend if you keep my commandments. Sending your wife a bunch of roses is not love. Not what love is. I don't love my wife if I don't walk in the commandments. I don't love my children unless I walk in the commandments. I don't love my neighbor unless I walk in the commandments. And I definitely don't love God if I don't walk in the commandments. You see, and I can't even love until he first loves me. Until I first experience the love of God, I can't even begin to understand what love is that allows me to give the strength to my kids and say, no, I'm not going to support you in this. But I still love you. But I have to walk in the commandments. You see, walking in the commandments may split up a family. Because Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace. I came with a sword, and I'm going to separate families. You see, what this is about is eternity. Not us all getting along on this earth. That wasn't the peace that he was talking about, that we all get along. It's about having a peace with God that allows us to walk in a world that's perverse and wicked and evil, and allows us to continue to be who we are and endure through it. That's the whole purpose of him giving us the Spirit, so we don't have to do this on our own. Like we talked about in Sunday school, you can't perfect this, the faith that you have been given. Where's faith come from? Huh? Everybody say it. Hearing. Where's hearing come from? Word of God. It's the only place you can get it. You can't get anywhere else. It doesn't exist anywhere else. Goes on to say that, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment. Just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. You see, because here's what's going to happen. There's many deceivers. The deceivers are not those people that are blatantly obvious. Do you realize that? See, we think that deceiver and we think Satan is so easily to spot in our life and in our churches. Satan's alive and well. This is his domain. And he's coming to deceive us. He knows that a child of God can't be, the soul can't be gotten from him, but he knows he can mess up his life and mess up his walk and mess up his witness. And he wants to deceive us. He says, many deceivers will come. We're going to live in a day and age where churches are full of pastors that stand up here and are deceiving the people. Listen, folks. God put a hierarchy that he expects to be followed. Do you realize that God expects his commandments to be followed by his children? Have you ever thought about that? See, somehow we have allowed religion to say because God has forgiven us through his son, Jesus Christ, that we're to live by forgiveness. I can't find that in scripture, can y'all? Are you to live by forgiveness? I think to please God, you have to live by what? Faith. Where's faith come from? Hearing. Where's hearing come from? The word of God. Wow, see how this all comes full circle and God, and the Bible explains itself on how we're to live and who we are to be? Many deceivers are going to come. Could be your family member. Could be your pastor. How do I spot that person? How do I spot that deceiver? When someone says, I think God is telling you this. I think God wants you to do this. Or if you yourself say, I think God wants this in my life. You see, the deceiver works upon supposedly. God says, I'm giving you commandments. I don't know of anyone in Scripture where God spoke to them, they didn't know God spoke. Do you? Did Moses go and say, I think God wants me to go deliver the children of Israel? Did he? I think that's what God wants me to do with my life. No, he's out there messing around in the sheep, there now, whatever they were herding, and cattle, whatever. And God said, no, I'm gonna pick him. And that's what God does. He chooses us. We don't choose him. Religion says we choose God and we do for God. Well, God says, I choose you and I will work through you. He goes on to say, for me to see what's coming to the world, those who not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and this is the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is being set up. The Antichrist is coming. We live in generation after generation. This is why it starts out with the children, and that's why he started out and said, I'm excited to see some of your children walking in truth, because if you don't give them truth and you don't, you can't save your kid. Listen to me. You can't convince your kid to say a prayer and he's okay. What you do if you've deceived him. How many parents have deceived their kids by allowing them to go through the religions of Methodists and Baptists and all those doctrines out there that God never even acknowledges? And now they've been deceived and there's no substance in their life, and life comes along, and guess what? They either live a religious life or they want nothing to do with it. That's what's happened, folks. That's what we've allowed to happen. We've allowed deception in the church. We've allowed preachers to stand up and say, this is what God says, instead of saying, this is what God says. Here's what I think he says. Let me tell you, I know Greek and I know Hebrew. Let me explain it to you. Run away from that person. You hear me? If some preacher evangelist gets up and says, let me tell you what Greek says. Let me tell you what Hebrew says. I'm going to tell you what the Holy Spirit says. Oh my gosh, what have we allowed? The deception of the Antichrist to come in instead of speaking truth. And then I don't care what you do with it. I do care what you do with it. But see, it's not on my head. As your pastor, I'm supposed to tell you truth. And you're not going to like it. Because it's not going to set well with your lifestyles. It's not going to set well with your ideas. It's not going to set well with your human ideas. Because God's ways are not our ways, and his ways are not our much, much higher standard than we have. Watch yourselves. See, always, and I've told you 1,000 times, in the mornings when you start your quiet time, if you don't pray for yourself first, you're worthless. See, we got all these people that are egotistical and they think they got it all figured out. And guess what? They're going to pray for you. I always start out praying for me. God, show me my heart. You see, I don't want to be deceived. And things that happened during that day, and I said, wow, Lord, that hurt. I didn't see that one coming. Yeah, that's how I really am, isn't it? Father, deliver me from that. Help me to be and walk in the manner that you've called me to walk, that I not might not sin against you. See if I could begin with those prayers. You see, and get that log out of my eye. Then I can be helpful to someone else. Watch yourselves that you not lose what we have accomplished. Folks, it's amazing how religion makes it that, oh wow, get somebody, come up and walk the aisle, say a prayer, get them in the baptism, and get them dunked in the water, and somehow, boy, we've accomplished our purpose. Wow. Could that be ever wrong? Could that ever be wrong? So he goes on to say that, watch yourself, don't lose what you've accomplished, but you may receive a full reward. What's the full reward? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the reward. He not only gives us the faith by the reading of his word and the hearing of his word, but then he gives us the Spirit of God to live within us so that we can live according to the purpose of our calling. not our purpose, but His purpose. And His purpose is that others come to know Him through the light. We're to be the light of the world, not the judge of the world. The light of the world is someone that allows that joy. That's why I have a problem with we come in here and we look like we're sucking on bitter apples or lemons or something, and we got this, I'm glad I'm here. I'm so stinking glad God's in my life. I can't wait to tell somebody about Jesus. Oh, let me tell you, Jesus I got. How have you treated folks this week, and you go back and talk to them about Christ if the opportunity came? Or if they had something in their life, would they even come to you after have they seen you walk and how you've treated? I'm not saying we may not always be perfect, but when I have to go back and apologize to someone and say, hey, I was convicted. You know what? I shouldn't have treated you that way, and I want to let you know I was in my quiet time this morning with God, and He told me I need to come apologize to you. You know what? That's the greatest witness of all, not the Roman road. But see, they can't deny that. But the fact that your life is controlled by Almighty God. The hierarchy that we was talking about earlier is you have God. And God is the head of Jesus. And Jesus is the head of the church. And man is head of woman. But why'd you have to go there? Darn it. See, we were doing good, and you guys were, yeah, amen, amen. And then we brought up the hierarchy of God. This is why our world doesn't work, because we're disobedient to His hierarchy. Why the woman was created, why man was created. Matter of fact, the scripture is very plain that man was created for God, woman was created for man. Man is the glory of God, woman is the glory of man, and if you don't like it, take it up with God. Maybe He'll rewrite it for you. If you don't like it, you can find a church. They'll rewrite it for you. You can find religion. They'll rewrite it for you. But this is why our world's in a mess. Because we've gotten so far from God's word, and we expect God to be here for us, and He's not. Oh, it's nice and sounds good that God's always here for you, and God's there for you, and God's with you, and God wants to make you wealthy and healthy. And oh, that sounds so stinking good. But it's a lie. God showed His love to this world by sending His Son so that you might not have to suffer the wrath of God. See, God doesn't allow someone to stay where He finds them. That's impossible for God. But religion will let you do that. Religion will let you do it. Scares me on this next verse. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Think about that for a minute. Anyone that goes too far and doesn't abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. What he's talking about is the fact that we'll determine what God does. We determine what God says. Humanity puts a definition on it. They go too far. They go beyond the borders of what God has set. God says, I'll let you know what you're to know. I'll reveal to you what I want you to know. It's all about revelation. It's all about revelation. No one comes to the Father that's not drawn by the Father. No one knows the Father but the Son, and no one knows the Son but the Father and who He pleases to reveal Him to. See, we take out that aspect. And we think that we can just go to God anytime we want to. That God's there for us regardless of how we live. I'm telling you what, if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then none of those things will be added to you. And we've not taught the church that. We've taught the church just to say the right things. But the heart is far from our lips, is it not? Are we taught what to say? Just like a child, we've talked about this before. You tell them, oh, go tell your sister you're sorry. Go hug your sister. And they hug them. And what are you teaching them? To lie. Because they're not really sorry. Make them sorry. That's what you're supposed to do. That's how you're supposed to teach your kids, is you make them sorry where they go and do it on their own will. But we lie to our kids. We bring them up in lies, and then we want to know why they're so far. We want to know why this generation now can't even figure out what they're male or female. They don't know what they are today. And yet those are the ones that are deciding my life and my fate up there, and they can't decide what they are. Because they've gotten so far from God's word and not read the scripture that they made them male and they made them female. I'm just trying to bring it practical to you so you can see what we're seeing and why we're seeing what today is. Doesn't mean we hate these folks. It means it shouldn't remind us that we were once in that same iniquity that they were and that we've been delivered from that. And that should cause us to pray. Not judge, but pray. The one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and don't give him a greeting. Well, that doesn't sound very Christian. Well, ain't very nice. The Mormons? Jehovah's Witness to come knocking on your door. What are we going to do? We invite them in because we're going to save them, right? Disobedient to God's word. They've already made up their mind. They're not seeking truth. They're seeking to lie to you. They're seeking to deceive you. You're not even supposed to give them a greeting. Wow, that doesn't sound very nice. Surely that's not the God we serve. It is the God you serve. Someone that denies his son and denies him, he's against. Isn't it amazing what God's word actually really does say? Huh? I've been in churches. Oh, invite the Jehovah's Witness in. And then let them share what they have, and you share what they have. It's an opportunity to share the gospel. And we don't even know what the gospel is nowadays. We don't even know what it means to share the gospel. We think taking someone down a Roman road, that's like teaching them Chinese. You know Chinese? Can you read Chinese? So if I take you down the Roman road, it's going to be like Chinese. Did you know that? There's no Roman road. There's God's word. But see how we in our denominations, we sit there and we come with all the trickery of men to deceive men to thinking that they're okay with God when they're not. That's what this deceiver does. We have been deceived. See, here's the problem. For the one who gives him a greeting is participating in his evil deeds. I didn't say that. God said that. See, sometimes children of God aren't very nice if they're obedient to God's word. Because if they listen to the Father, it might be allowing somebody to struggle until God brings them to that point of salvation. I think we interfere and intervene way too much sometimes. And we're not seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're trying to make everybody look at us and say, wow, look at a good Christian he is. I don't want to be a Christian. That's the last thing I want. Is someone to call me a Christian. Show me in Scripture where God uses Christians to call you who you are. Anybody got that? I'd like to know where it's at. The Romans called us Christians, and it says they suffered as Christians, and I promise you the early day church was nothing like the church today. See, God makes it more specific. Am I your father? And are you my child? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 5. 9 through 13, real quick. See, he says, I wrote in my letter not to associate with immoral people. So he actually wrote a letter. He said, don't associate with immoral people. So those that decided that they were now had some kind of favor with God was like, all right, we don't have to associate with those people that now we are deeming inferior to us. You see, I go to church. You don't go to church. So obviously that makes me better than you. Right? You know, and so he had to kind of back up a little bit. Paul has to come back a little bit. He says, I wrote in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with oral people, with immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or the swindlers, or the idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. So you see, he had to back up a little bit about this judging thing and say, wait a minute, that's not what I said. But what I actually wrote was not to associate with any so-called brother, a child of God, born again, if he is an immoral person, covetous, or an adulterer, or a robber, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from yourselves. You have to understand that this world has already been judged. That's what people don't understand. Jesus Christ just carries out the judgment when he comes back. He came on his first time. He said, I didn't come to judge the world. I didn't come to destroy men. I came to save them. And that's the same attitude that we as a church should have. Is God came to save these people, not to divide them. You know, it's kind of like having a car. Do I have a black car? Do I have a red car? Do I have a green car? Guess what? It's still a stinking car, right? So when we start dividing ourselves up by our skin colors, what have we done? What have we done? When we judge somebody based upon their color of their skin, isn't it amazing that God only judges the heart? Your color of your skin doesn't determine how you act. It's your heart. And we know that it's all wicked. We were born in iniquity. And unless we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we remain in that iniquity no matter how good we think we are. I don't understand. I don't understand why we look at those that are of the idea that they are homosexual or have that orientation or they're transgender. That's a soul that's going to hell. And because I know what God has delivered me from, and by the only the mercies of God, I am what I am, it causes me to humble myself and thank God for my salvation and thank for my deliverance of that iniquity that I was in and begin to pray for those people, not separate them. We don't burn abortion clinics. We don't bash gay rallies. How does that help? The church was never called to do that. The church was called to be the light that would shine upon their iniquity through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, not you. I'm not going to get to it this Sunday, but next Sunday, if God wills, the passage of Scripture we're going to talk about is that God, that Paul became as the Jews, he became as the weak, he became as anyone he was around, making that association with him. I mean, you have all these religious people. Well, if you're gay, I'm not making you a wedding cake. Remember that? Do y'all remember that? That was in the paper, that one bakery said, well, I go to church and I examine God and all. I'm God's child and all this kind of stuff, and yet a gay person comes in and they're not going to make them a wedding cake. That's religion. That's what religion does. Huh? But yet they made a wedding cake for the adulterer. They made a wedding cake for the one that was speeding down the road. They made the one that's cheating at work. They made the one that's... You get my drift? God forgive you when you judge. God didn't make you judge. He made you a child. He expects his child to act like the father. He asks the child to have the love for the father that he had for us. But see, we sure like to receive that love. We sure like to receive that forgiveness. But it seems like we're the last ones to give it. We're not a light. What are we? I don't know what we are. We're not the salt of the earth. We're not ambassadors for Christ. That's what we're called to be. But that's not how the churches are acting. They've got some kind of superiority on them that, oh my gosh. We pray for opportunities. Don't make a mess of it. And we have. Because we've been deceived by the deceiver. It's time we get back to what God says. It's time to get back to we do what... I mean, look at these truckers all up in Canada. So they have this idea, okay, we're going to make a statement. But they made a nuisance of themselves, a noisy gong by doing it. All they had to do is not show up for work, not block the road, and they would accomplish the same thing, actually more, if they wanted to make a statement. You know what I'm saying? But see, that's what Christians seem to do, and I'm going to use that because that's what they are. They're Christians. They're not children of God. Children of God and Christians are not synonymous, and I'm going to preach that until the day I die because Christians and children of God are not the same. And God forgive you if you think they are because they're not. And you can see what our world has done. We can see how we have, in the church, have separated groups. We don't condone what they do. Because I tell you what, if someone comes in here, they're either leave or they'll get saved. Because there's going to be truth told. But it's going to be in love. And God did this because he doesn't want us to suffer his wrath. John 3:16 says that. Gave his only begotten son. Who have believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's about the perishing thing. See, we want to focus on God's love. And not know why he loved us and what he was keeping us from. He showed his love to keep us from what? Perishing. And the church should have a love for your children that they're not going to perish, and don't let them spend Sunday mornings in worship time at a ball field. Let them know there's something about special about this time where God allows us to come and worship. Not just when we want to, but he allows us to worship his name. But see, religion lets you do all the things you want to do and still have God. I'm telling you, folks, I know this is hard. I dealt with it when my kids were growing up. And it's worse now than when they were growing up. And you got kids right now. You're going to have to decide what is more important in their life, that they play another sport or come and know there's something different about this place. And it's about worshiping, not playing games in Sunday school, but teaching them through the Word of God who they are and what to expect. Because God tells us all of that. It's neat stuff. This is neat stuff to build on. Okay? It's good stuff.